And welcome to the TRS Open podcast. It's I feel like it's sometimes a while, but not always a while. Wame, my friend, how are you this beautiful winter evening?
I was about to say welcome to the most inconsistent podcast you'll ever meet out there, but don't worry, we'll be consistent sometimes. I mean, it's a level of surprise and stuff. You can't expect an episode every week. You know, that's not how we do things. I'm kidding, but I'm just thanking yourself.
No, I'm excellent. And I think the one thing that we're consistent in is our inconsistency. And I'm really happy to mention that we've got an amazing guest this evening, all the way from the United Kingdom. I'm not actually sure where in the United Kingdom. I guess we'll find out in a few moments. But Biftu Abogodu, she is a associate design engineer at McLaren Automotive. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you this evening?
Hi. Yeah, I'm really excited to join the podcast. I'm doing very well. How are you?
Good. Thank you. And you know, this is a conversation that Wame and I have been really excited to have for a few weeks now. So really glad to have you on board. And, you know, just to jump straight into it, Biftu, if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself. And I mentioned, of course, that you are a design engineer at McLaren Automotive. Maybe a little bit about what you do there, what that entails.
Yeah, sure. Just to answer your question at the start, so I'm based in London. I grew up in London. I actually was born in Germany, so like first like 9 years of my life I grew up in Germany. Speak well, 9 year old level German, but still say that I speak German. Yeah. And then moved to London and pretty much just like lived there until I went out to uni. But yeah, in terms of my job and what I do, so as you said, I'm an associate design engineer, which is mostly just focused on designing components in McLarens that are coming out in the future. So what a design engineer does, we pretty much design components using CAD software, so like design software on a computer.
Oh, yeah.
So most of my day is just spent on CAD software, just spinning parts around and tweaking things and whatnot. But I love my job, and it's what I've wanted to do since like before studying engineering. So I'm really, really happy with what I do. And yeah, hopefully I can give you more of an insight as well as having a fun conversation with you guys.
Can I ask a question? What was the inspiration behind your career? Like, why did you choose that specific one? Have you always wanted a career in motorsport?
Why did I do it? I feel like, okay, the honest answer, right? When I was in like primary school, I was quite young, like 9 or 10. I already like really loved maths and science and stuff like that. And my dad used to be like, oh, okay, yeah, she's going to be an engineer, right? And when you're at that age, you don't want your parents to be right. So you're like, no, I'm not going to be an engineer. What are you talking about? No, I can have my own thoughts. Like, I can have my own decisions. So I was really reluctant. And then as I went into like secondary school, I was like, oh, crap, okay, I might actually end up being an engineer because I really like this, right? I'm really into like physics and maths and stuff. But then in secondary school is when I started getting into like F1 and cars and stuff like that. So back when I was younger, I had one uncle who used to watch F1, and the rest of the family was football, and I really didn't like football, right? So when he used to have an F1 on all the time, I used to sort of just be like look at the TV and think, okay, this looks a bit interesting. And then I sort of left it for a few years, and then like I said, in secondary school I started watching Top Gear, which was really funny. And the way that they just like, you would be like genuinely interested in cars, and they'd make it interesting, right? To the point where I was watching it every week, and I was a massive fan. And then I started also watching F1 around 2013 more consistently, like watching all the races and stuff. And then that's what it, that was like, you know what, I need to work in either automotive or motorsport, like that is what I want to do. And then yeah, so I did like my A-levels and like my college and stuff, and then I studied automotive engineering at uni, and now I'm here.
That's incredible. Like, and I'm also just really interested especially for our listeners, you drew a distinction between automotive and motorsport. Like, so what would like the difference be really?
Yeah, so I think, well, it might depend slightly on who you ask, I think, but in general, well, to me, I feel like motorsport is a part of the automotive industry. Yeah. So like automotive is quite wide, right? It's pretty much just cars in general, whereas motorsport is that sort of small, that pinnacle racing, pinnacle of motorsport, pretty much Formula One and all the other racing series from top to bottom. I'd say, well, for me, because I'm at McLaren Automotive and I do the road cars, I usually refer to where I work as the automotive industry. But then I've had the like also opportunities of meeting other people across motorsport as well through like other events that I've been doing and things like that, which has been really cool, by the way. Like when you're in those rooms and you're like, oh my God, I used to watch you on like, I've seen you on TV or like I've seen you on a podcast and now I'm here. And you have to act cool about it, right? Because you're like, oh my God, like it's them. Like I had the really cool opportunity of I was at an event in November and it was to do with diversity and inclusion in motorsport. And I had no idea who was going to be there. It was just like someone told us. So I work with like a venture that I like to do like STEM outreach work. So like working with kids in schools and like teaching them about STEM and getting them interested in science, right? So through that, I work with a venture called RC Vision, which tries to get kids involved through radio controlled cars, which I feel like all kids are into anyway. So I feel like that's a really good way of getting kids interested, right?
That's really smart. And
yeah, so the guy I work with, Andy Hyde, was like, oh, you should come to this event. They've invited me and like, I feel like it'd be really good for you. So I was like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll come along. Bro, the people that were there, I was like, what? What? Wait, Naomi Schiff was there, right? Yeah. And Karun Chandok was there.
Yeah.
And like on the Chicane podcast, so like Paris was there, Mariam was there. I was freaking out. I was like, I'm not ready for this. I didn't dress for this. Like, these are people that I like, watch like on my phone every day. And now I'm here and I'm like crapping. I don't know how to talk to them. I was crapping myself. So in that sense, I wasn't ready for that. But it's been really cool just like making all the connections within motorsport and like, because I'm on like F1 Twitter as well. So like you guys, I don't know if you know, but we follow each other. I've got a bit of a low-key account, but I do follow like Wame, for example, right? We follow each other. So so like through like F1 Twitter and stuff as well, you get to meet loads of cool people and like F1 and stuff and like just have a laugh. And it's not like serious or like you don't have to be all like professional or anything, like a like massive event and stuff. So in that sense, it's been really cool meeting new people, for sure.
So
okay.
Is F1 the end goal?
I guess. I mean, like obviously at school, it was F1 that I really wanted to do. But then when I was studying, I did like a placement year and my I've got some experience in automotive. So I worked at BMW for a year. So like experience wise, I'm pretty like automotive. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, why not? Maybe in the future I'll give F1 a go. I don't know. I'm pretty happy with my job. So we'll see where it takes me.
A great answer, you know, just in case your employers are listening to this, you know.
Yeah, I'm really happy. Yeah.
But I'm really interested in you mentioned cars of the future. But at the same time, if I understood you correctly, you're mostly simulating parts and that sort of thing. So like, you know, how far ahead in the horizon are you looking in terms of like the development? I guess in my mind, you know, again, just to make it relatable to F1, I was thinking like so much about the 2021 season was about the development battle and how Mercedes was going to stop developing their car halfway through the year whilst Red Bull were doing that. So when you're talking about design the cars of the future, how far ahead are you like in your job right now? We're talking next year, we're talking 3 years, a decade down the line.
So basically, you're asking me when's the next McLaren coming out, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, I can't give out that information for obvious reasons.
Oh yeah,
fair. Yeah, but I think, yeah, timeline wise, I feel like it's slightly different to F1, where F1, I mean, to be fair, now in the year they're probably starting to look towards next year already, whereas within automotive it's like multiple year cycles, right? Like a car that you see come out today has probably started work 3-4 years ago minimum, right? So in that sense the timeline is way wider, and there's a lot of a longer process when it comes to designing a road car as opposed to an F1 car. I mean, when you think about it, an F1 car pretty much has to just last the season, right? Whereas
yeah,
a road car, it's pretty much lifetime, like you're talking 20-30 years at least. So in that sense it kind of does make sense. But then also just all the regulations and things that you have to follow. You've got to, you know, design cars that are legal in worldwide pretty much. So it might mean that you've got a car that is slightly different specs in different countries just to make sure that it's legal and things like that. So there's so much more that goes on behind the scenes, I feel like. But yeah, it's way of a longer timeline in automotive, I'd say, than it is in F1 or motorsport in general.
And is there any, like, the testing of the designs? I would, you know, I think about stuff like wind tunnels. Again, I'm relating it to, I have absolutely no science background, by the way. Like, I'm just a guy who sits around. Who sits around and just likes the stuff. So, again, I mean, we're in road cars. I don't know if wind tunnels is even a thing there, or things like, I don't know, crash testing and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, well, within my department, not so much, because we don't really work on aero too much. I'm in body and white, so it's more to do with like structural components. So we look at things like the monocoque of, like, because for McLaren, our like unique selling point is that we've got our carbon monocoque, right, in our road cars. So my department looks at the carbon monocoque, but then we also look at sort of structural components that attach to that. So like the front end and the rear end and things like that. So we don't really do much like aero work or anything, but we do have like an aero department that does that kind of thing. So they do like CFD simulations, and I'm sure they also do work on the wind tunnel, but I don't really work, so I don't know too much about what they do. So on our end, it's more, yeah, like crash testing and things like that. So most of our testing is, especially at early concept level, it's all simulated, because you don't want to like create parts and then crash them. It costs a lot of money. So we've got like a dedicated team who work on crash simulations. So you've got different crashes that you need to pass depending on the regulations. And so we've got to make sure that our components are actually passing those tests. So yeah, that's pretty much what we do.
Wait, have they ever asked you to work on a Formula One car, or have you ever had like the privilege of being around one?
I've not directly, like, as a design engineer, worked on an F1 car, but because, like, so at McLaren, we've got the McLaren Technology Center, which is like our massive office that we're based at, and F1 are also based at the same office. So, like, we've got one end of the office, like, one end of the building is just like F1, and then we're on the other side. So, like, you'll, like, walk past them and you'll see them. And, like, I've had the privilege of seeing, like, the drivers walking around and stuff, which is really cool. And you're, like, fangirling, you're like, oh, good, I need to, like, act cool. So that's been really cool. And, like, I've seen the F1 cars, like, in between races when they're, like, sometimes being worked on here. And, like, the engine start up at the start of the season and things like that. I've had, like, the opportunity to actually see them in the race space, but I've not really been inside the F1 section, if that makes sense. It's all glass, so you can just see everything. So like when you're walking to like the lunch hall and stuff, you can pretty much see like where the F1 area is, and obviously like the boulevard has got all the historic cars. So like the cars that like Senna drove and Lewis Hamilton won this championship in, and yeah, it's really cool when you're walking down and you're seeing all the historic cars lined up along the boulevard.
And shout out to the car that Daniel Ricciardo won at Monza, and right? I mean, that's gotta be quite iconic. I mean, Senna, Hamilton, Ricciardo. That is pretty much the order of things. Maybe one day when we're there's a South African Grand Prix and you decide to pop around and stuff, you know, we'll be able to be like, hey, you know, we know someone in McLaren Automotive.
Definitely.
I will host you.
Oh, that was, can you imagine how much fun? You guys should come to Silverstone. I'm going to Silverstone this year and I've never been to a race before. So I'm really excited. So excited.
I think Silverstone and Brazil are like the dream races for me. I can't say for Langa because Langa's an op, but for me, I think Silverstone and Brazil are
the dream races
I'd want to. You are. I mean, okay. Everyone knows that.
All right, whatever.
Let me ask a question, actually, before we get into like F1. Max or Lewis? I think I know the answer to that, but so if we're following each other, then I think I know the answer to that.
Oh, absolutely. It's Lewis all the way, isn't it?
Thank you. So it's two against one for the first time.
I cannot believe this, honestly, but it's fine. You know, each to his own, each to his own. I have to ask at this point, I think we've sort of merged towards Formula One. Are you enjoying the season? I appreciate the story of you being sort of sneaking away and trying to, not sneaking away, but like watching the sport when you're young and thinking to yourself, okay, I need to become an engineer. Are you enjoying this season? The sport is very different to today from what it was even 5 years ago, I think.
Yeah, sure. I mean, this season, I guess it comes down to who you support, really, doesn't it? But in that sense, that's a interesting question. Obviously, well, McLaren, not the best in the grid at the moment, which is, you know what, yeah. There's not much to say, to be honest. We're not doing amazingly. I did expect a little bit more. But, and then, yeah, growing up, I was, like, Lewis Hamilton was the one that I was watching all the time. So that's, like, always going to be sort of who I'm supporting. So in that sense, that's also not going great. So in terms of enjoying the sport, the diplomatic answer is that the sport is, you know, the sport is sporting.
Yes.
But when it comes to your faves and watching them not do as great, that's been quite painful. It's been a long, long journey and I don't see a light. And it's getting long. The tunnel's getting longer and I'm struggling. I don't know what to do.
It's getting darker.
It's honestly, the light's getting further away. Like, I don't even see it anymore.
Oh. Sorry, I can say that delusion works better if you're a delusional Mercedes fan. I'm telling you, the season becomes so much better. And for me, well, I haven't actually lost all hope. I mean, I think I'm crazy, but like, I have lost all hope. I think we're gonna come back right before Silverstone. That's when I think we're going to like come back. But just like lost, so. Yeah. But I'm not saying us. I'm saying Lewis. I don't know us. What is say, I feel like Lewis is gonna come back and they're gonna give him a car that kind of matches his talent. Like, it meets him halfway. And then, yeah, because also Ferrari is not a huge threat, to be honest. No one's scared of Ferrari. I know I'm not. I've never been scared of it. So
what, you're not scared of Ferrari even now? I'm scared. I mean, this is me, but I'm scared.
I'm not. I've never been scared of Ferrari. First race of the season, I told everyone, I think I even tweeted it, that I'm not scared of Ferrari. That car is nothing without consistency and team effort and everything. And everyone was like, oh my God, you don't know, Will. You'll see. And every single race, I'm proven right. If we look at Monaco, you see that I was onto something. There's a tweet today where Benito was saying that they're not in the championship fight, they're just happy to be in it, like they're just happy to be front runners, like they're just not fighting for the championship. I'm like, what does that even mean? Why did you build a fast car then? That's when I was like, okay, maybe they are giving up, because well, it's Ferrari, it's a generational bottle team, so we're not really shocked.
Those are some incredibly harsh words. Wow. You know, they've only won the most championships of any team on the grid. But, you know.
Then they fell off dismally.
Yeah. What I would say is actually quite interesting is that Ferrari have often won in clusters. That's actually quite interesting. They go for really, really long spells without winning anything, and then they come in and they win like five double championships in a row. They've done that a lot throughout their history. So you might be onto something, but also I think with Bonotto's quotes today, I think he's just trying to take pressure off his team, because it's not only his driver that's under pressure, particularly Charles Leclerc. Carlos Sainz is under his own kind of pressure. He's clearly not going to win a world championship, well, not the world championship this year. And then his pit crew is under pressure because they had an absolute brain fart in Monaco. So everyone's under pressure. So of course he's going to say, oh, guys, let's temper expectations. What else would he do? It'd be crazy for him to get out there and be like, oh my gosh, guys, we need to do... No. Sometimes people just need an arm around the shoulder.
Nope, not Horner. Horner would never say that. Horner would never go on TV and be like, oh no, we're not in the championship fight. Oh no, he had a terrible car, but he still thought he was in the championship fight at some point. But anyways, I'm not here to slander Red Bull. I don't like Red Bull. Everyone knows I don't like Red Bull. I'm not trying to make this conversation about Red Bull. Vifti, you mentioned that you are part of a Frontera, right? I know we all hate that. But how are you finding it, as just how are you enjoying it? Personally, let me answer that firstly for me. I think besides a Frontera making me find you longer, I think I've just created a lot of sisterhood. So it might be a cesspool, it might be a lot of racist and everything, but I just think it's given me a community. Like, it's given me something to look forward to every day and just being part of like my hobby. How are you finding it?
Yeah, no, I'd literally say exactly the same. Like, obviously with naturally the people that I like follow and things like that have the same similar opinions to me. So in that sense, I feel like sometimes it can be a bit of an echo chamber. But other than that, it's been like really, as you said, like finding that community, especially if like in your everyday life you don't have too many people that are into F1 or you don't have many people that support the same team that you support. I feel like in that sense, it's been like amazing, just like sharing opinions, and like obviously the drama is really entertaining as well. but in that sense, I feel like F1 Twitter is actually really like it's made a proper community, and it's no one really takes themselves too seriously. We're all having fun. Most of the time you don't really get offended if something does happen, but it's been, yeah, I love F1 Twitter. I've lived for it, honestly.
It's probably my favorite part of Twitter. It's just fun. I'd did this on Twitter, but like, you know, like this, yeah, it's probably my favorite thing about being on Twitter, because then I don't get to like hear other opinions. It's just me and like my favorite thing, you know, like my hobby. And like now you get to share it with everyone else. And it's the one thing that I love about it, and I don't think you also get to experience that in your day-to-day life, is just how many Black women are there. You know, like I didn't know. Actually, before Black women, like F1 Twitter is run by girls, and then you get another section of like Black women and you're like, oh my god, I didn't know that people like me actually enjoy this, and we all share the same thoughts, we all share the same struggle. So it's like kind of amazing for me. Like that's why I want to host all of us in one place at some point, you know, and like we just have us watch a race, whether it's live, whether it's just in a place. Like I just want all my friends internationally to just come here, or like I go to them and we watch a race.
I agree. Yeah,
I don't think Langa enjoys F1 Twitter. I mean, I wouldn't if I was a Red Bull fan.
I mean, I obviously have a different, you know, no, but like on a like a serious note, it is a proper community. And I noticed that really after Abu Dhabi, where I think the collective uproar, right, was also quite in its own way therapeutic, because people knew that the depth of the feeling that people had about the end of last season wasn't just a thing. Like I've mentioned to people before, like some of like my best friends, people whose weddings I've been to and stuff, had pretty much no idea that I watched Formula One. Maybe up until about 5 or 6 years ago, a lot of them. And like it is only because of things like Twitter, or the space of Twitter where this community forms and you start to have opinions and people know what your opinion is. And like to be able to just share those thoughts with people. And sometimes people agree. In fact, a lot of the time people disagree, especially if you support Red Bull. But like, that's just because they want to be disagreeable. Like, and I mean, it's completely fine. I have no qualms with that. But I think the value of finding like-minded people and finding people who share a passion, because I think we're all at the core of this, we all have a passion for the sport, right? Regardless of whether you support Ferrari, McLaren, Red Bull, or what, Mercedes. Yeah, Mercedes. That's
why. You had to put them last, didn't you?
That was so shady.
That was a dig. I didn't appreciate that.
But yeah, I mean, we've got a race upcoming this weekend. We're recording just before Azerbaijan. Biftu, Wame, how are you guys feeling or thinking about Mercedes in particular? I'm quite interested as to where you guys think, because the amazing thing about Baku is that like it's a combination of a lot of low speed corners where I think we saw Mercedes get exposed at Monaco, but then there are a lot of fast sweeping corners where the Mercedes was the fastest through the speed traps at Barcelona, right? So how do you weigh up those two characteristics with the track, thinking about Mercedes and their general development path? Because I think this is potentially going to show the best and worst elements of that car.
I'll let Beef to answer that first.
you're looking very, I think, yeah, I might have a clue what you're going to say. Beef too, sorry.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I guess I'll talk for McLaren and Mercedes, but I don't know. For Mercedes especially, I don't think it's an overnight thing. We're not going to just see them like magically appear P1, P2. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. It's more of a longer term thing, I feel like. Obviously, I don't know, and I don't know where the updates are happening and what's like specifics like that, but I personally am not going to get my hopes up too high because they've been shattered too many times. With McLaren as well, I don't know if, I don't know, to be honest. I'm not going to hold my breath. I do feel like it will be quite an exciting race just because of previous years. There's always been some sort of drama happening. Was it last year with the brake magic situation?
We don't mention that.
That was PTSD. I'm telling you now. There's always something that happens, I feel, right? So
I thought you were going to talk about Max's tire exploding. I mean, telling me about brake magic. Yeah.
Shut up, Jeff.
To be fair, I did forget that happened. Yeah. So I feel like, Baku can be dramatic. So in that sense, it's a sense of excitement because I feel like something will happen. But in terms of just dramatically improving in performance, I'm not really holding my breath, to be honest.
I think, well, usually I make predictions based off of FP1 and FP2, really. Like, that's when I get where we're at. And I know a lot of people say Mercedes are practically practice merchants these days. But I think there's just something that I see most of the time during practice that I'm just like, okay, maybe we might have improved. But going to this weekend, I am expecting nothing because we suck at street circuits. We really suck. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a Mercedes car do well in a street circuit. I think the only car that I've done well is probably the W11, but everything else is terrible. But then, like, I don't know. I think we've been having the same cycle for the past since, like, it's not Bahrain. Bahrain was a good race for us. Ever since Jeddah, we've just had the same pattern. We went to the race excited, going to the weekend excited. We topped the charts, something like that. Lewis is excited, Lewis is happy, Lewis is smiling. We all have hope, he's giving us hope, They top the charts in practice and come quietly. Sometimes they don't even make Q2, it's just like, oh, okay. And then, after that, you go into the race. they qualify, sometimes they qualify well, and then we go into the race, and then James Walls comes into the picture and says, hi guys, you know, sometimes I suck at my job, so I'm just going to show you guys how much I suck at my job, you know. So I'm just, as a Mercedes fan going to this weekend, I just have no expectations. I'm not expecting anything. If we do well, then great. If Lewis does well, then great. If he doesn't, then it's just something that I'm used to, like, it's just pain. And I think we've been saying this, but it's the same pattern as last year as well. Last year, it was the same pattern until, like, Silverstone. Like, we'd go into the race excited. Lewis and Valtteri would, like, top the charts. And then Max would, like, top them again during FP3. And then Quali. And then we're in hell. Next in the car doesn't work during races. But, yeah. I hope Mercedes is happy about what they're doing to me. I really hope they're happy. Because I'm not. If I could, I'd walk there.
But okay, no, you know, like I can't believe I'm about to do this, but I think like you've been really, really harsh on them. As I should. Yeah, that's fair. But you know, I don't know. There was a lot that I saw at Barcelona where I thought, oh, okay, like there's something to work with. Again, I've never studied physics a day past grade 12 matric. So like I'm, you know, by no means any sort of aerodynamicist, but like I've said to you offline, I think they just, you know, need to change their whole concept in order to get right to the front. But they could push this car to get a little bit closer, and you never know. All it takes is a DNF in front of you or someone to do an absolute madness, and suddenly you win the race.
Four Bozas at the front can do that, right?
The four amigos. No. But I mean, I'm trying to think. When Ricciardo won at Monza, I mean, that was McLaren 1-2. I think Lando was certainly ahead of, because Max and Lewis both had terrible pit stops, right? Which was the reason why they were both wheel to wheel going into turn one at Monza.
Say it like it is.
No, that was the reason. But my point is that I think McLaren might have been ahead on the track because sometimes things happen, right? Even if you know, before those pit stops, you wouldn't have expected either the McLarens to get in front. And therefore, if Mercedes can just consistently put themselves in a position to pounce, then you never know. You'll pick up a couple of wins this season. Then it depends, of course, whether it's George Russell or Lewis Hamilton ahead as the lead car. But yeah, that's another.
Oh my God, that's a dig. That's another dig.
I would think I'm being very, very sincere. Like, I mean, I think
I don't like you.
I think Lewis is clearly the faster driver, at least in the race, right? But there's something that's not happening in qualifying, and I don't mean this as a dig, and this is the last thing I'll say. Lewis Hamilton, perhaps not always out-qualified, but there was always a sense, part of the reason people were so frustrated with Valtteri at Mercedes was that he was often on pole, right? I stand corrected, but there might've been a season where he actually out-qualified Lewis. I think it was 2019, was it 2020 or 2019. Yeah, he absolutely bottled it so many times from the lead. And I think Hamilton needs to, and Mercedes, figure out what they're going to do in quali. Because if they don't do that, then he's consistently putting himself in a position where nonsense can happen, like when Kevin Magnussen hit him in Barcelona. Like, that's part of the jeopardy of being, you know, seventh or eighth starting on the grid. And I'm not saying that through any fault of his own, and that's not even a dig. I'm like, you're looking at me like I'm being so sincere. I'm just trying to have a sincere opinion.
It's not a dig, but then it still hurts to hear it, you know, because when did we become, you know, when did we fold this heart, like we fell off? And it breaks me to even say that, because they hyped us up. They all gave us those ones. They said we're getting a rocket ship, and we didn't get that. We're still waiting for it. They said Barcelona. I mean, we've got something that looks like a rocket ship, I guess. I'm still waiting to see a full rocket ship. That's when I'll be like, oh, maybe we might be back. But yeah, Anyways, how was the Monza celebration, Monza win celebration at the office, really? I think that's what I want to know.
It was really exciting. I mean, obviously, I'm not in the racing side. I hear rumors that they had champagne. We personally didn't have champagne. We were looking over the fence, hoping for champagne, but nothing happened.
Wait, didn't you guys all join together since, like, McLaren?
You would think so, but no, we didn't know. But, yeah, like, obviously, racing side was, like, where the party was at. But, and, like, the, do you know, like, on social media, they had, like, the welcoming of, like, them coming in with the McLaren, like, down the lake and stuff. Yeah, I have no idea what that was happening. And I was in the office as well, and I just didn't get the invite. I was, like, a little bit rude, but it's fine. Yeah, but like afterwards, obviously, like the atmosphere, you could say see that everyone was really excited, obviously, and like the trophies were like in the boulevard, like everyone was able to like take pictures and stuff. Everyone was like obviously over the moon. And then for me, because obviously, like we're half work from home and work half in the office. So like by the time I got to the office, I was like, where have the trophies gone? Like they just disappeared from. I didn't get my picture. Like I was. Like, what's going on here? So I spent literally weeks looking for these Monza trophies, right? Like, just chasing them. Like, I've got, like, a person that I know in racing. So I'm like, where's the trophies? And they'll tell me a place. And I go at lunch and they're gone. I'm like, come on. Like, you've got to be kidding me. I want this one Insta picture. And it's been weeks now. And now it's just going to look old, right? So I'm chasing these trophies around MTC trying to find them. Finally got my picture 6 weeks later when they put them in the main trophy cabinets. And every day when I go into the office, I would see like at the end of the day, someone new from McLaren has found the trophies on social media. And like, I'm literally like, I saw that spot at work like 4 hours ago and it wasn't there. So I was chasing these trophies for weeks and I finally got them, finally got my Insta picture 6 weeks later. I was so annoyed. The hype had gone by then. I was like, oh, we've literally had like 4 races by now. Gone. I'm over it. Whatever. Take your trophies. I was so annoyed.
But where are they going? Where were the trophies going?
They just kept moving them. I don't know why. And like, there was a rumor going around, right? The office where, so racing apparently started a rumor about Auto, how we were like licking the trophies. Ooh. Which, by the way, I can say right now, you can see it's very sub. Who's licking it? Not me. Licking. Why? In this COVID times, why would we be licking the trophies? There was a rumor that
the Auto
guys are licking the trophies, right? So then after that, apparently the trophies were taken to like just the racing areas, like the racing offices, which obviously I don't have access to. So I was like, come on, guys, like I promise we're not licking them. We literally just want to fix them. It's not that deep. I was so annoyed. So they took them to racing. And then like after a couple of weeks, they put them in the main trophy cabinet. So like, I think there was an Instagram video of like Daniel Ricciardo, like a really heartfelt message where he put his trophy next to one of Senna's trophies, I think it was. So after that day, I was like, I know where that spot is. If it's not there tomorrow by lunch, I'm going to be so angry. And I got there and it wasn't there. So I was like, come on. I literally planned it. I know exactly where that cabinet is and it wasn't there. And then like a couple of weeks later, I found them again. But yeah, that was a goose chase and a half. I was so angry at that point. Yeah,
that's honestly one of the funniest things I have ever heard. Like, just like going around. I don't know how big the building is, looking for trophies.
Honestly,
for 6 weeks. Like you're
and
on
it's such a like publicly recorded thing. Like you just see like on all the different McLaren social medias, they've got a different location for the exact same trophy. They're like, oh my God, come on. Like at least give me a lead. Like there's no way I'm finding these trophies like this. It's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh, the licking the trophies. I think that's a great title for this episode, by the way. But you know, I honestly, I feel like we could talk for a very, very, very long time. And once again, appreciate you making the time to chat to us. But I have to then ask, who do you think is actually going to win this weekend? Bear in mind, this episode will probably come out afterwards because, you know, I take forever to like edit things and yeah. So you're going to be held to like public scrutiny.
Nice. Thanks for that.
At least you don't know your Twitter handle.
Yeah,
that's
no,
true. That's very true. Who do I think is going to win? Personally, I mean, there's a difference between who I think is going to win and who I'm rooting for. Obviously,
yes,
McLaren or Mercedes would be a win for me. But realistically speaking, with the title fight at the moment between sort of Red Bull and Ferrari, I've been leaning towards Charles Leclerc. So I'm thinking maybe they'll get their strategy sorted somehow, get over what happened in Monaco, and maybe pull something out of the bag. But I don't know, we'll see, I guess. We'll see. Baku can turn things upside down, so I don't know.
Yeah, they've been five races. 16 was the European Grand Prix. Who won that? Rosberg. 17, 18, 19, 21. Yeah, they've been five different winners in five races at Baku, which I think is like a sign of like how it can throw up literally anything that you think. So anyone, if Checo or Hamilton wins, they'll be the only driver on the grid to have won twice at Baku. It's a fun fact.
Interesting.
Lewis is going to win, by the way.
I really think he could. And like, I don't know, like there was this, I had this sense of dread in Barcelona. I had a private conversation with my cousin after, you know, the performance of the Mercedes was there. And I said to him, I needed at least a season of misery, at least a season. And you guys could hardly give me five damn races. So I don't know. It's fine. Whatever.
Listen, it's not just you, because even Helmut Marko said that. I mean, Helmut Marko did say that Mercedes is going to come back. And Horner, also after Barcelona, I remember I watched it, and he was like, I told you guys Mercedes is going to come back, and it's making those strides. And I'm like, well, these might just be delusional as us. I think Ripple, I think even a Ripple is low-key a Mercedes fan. I am just going to make peace. I'm just going to do research.
But can we just have a moment to acknowledge how nice Red Bull have been this year? Like nice. Like Helmut Marko has been,
because
like,
they're not fighting
they've been nice. I mean, Helmut Marko stood up for Hamilton with the whole jewelry thing. That's when I lost my mind. I was like, Helmut, like, shut up. Like, I don't care that you support, like, just keep quiet. You don't have to say that you're supporting him with this thing.
I'm telling you guys, no one is scared of Ferrari. Like, no, absolutely no one is scared of Ferrari. That's why they're nice. It's like, it's so easy to be nice to people that you know will bottle this thing. Like, why do you have to be mean at people that are not going to do it? Like, you look at the first race and you're like, oh, it was fast. I mean, everyone kept saying that car was fast. I just didn't care. I wasn't paying attention to that car. I was paying attention to the silver car. You know, like, that's the car I was paying attention to. And then everything just started to go downhill, and it's still going to go downhill. Tech was not going to win another race. Okay, well, let me just not be bold enough to say that. I mean, I'm hoping he doesn't win another race for the terrorism he pulled in Monaco. But all I'm saying is, Lewis is winning this weekend. He is.
I actually think Checo is going to win it. I think Sergio Perez is going to win. He had the pace. He genuinely, before last year, before Toto Wolff had a big cry and a moan to the FIA about pit stop stuff. I remember that race so clearly. Max had a 1.96, and I think it was the last sub to pit stop. But then Checo had like a slightly long pit stop. It was about 4 seconds. And he still came out like just behind Verstappen. And he still managed to overcut Hamilton with a 4 second thing. And I think his driving style suits Baku. I think Sergio Perez is going to win this weekend, and the whole world is going to lose their minds. It's going to be like, ooh, what about the fighting at Red Bull? This is not going to happen. But like, he's going to win this weekend. And then the world is going to lose their mind. And I don't know. But that's just what I think.
He might be looking at a win, but Red Bull is going to be like, hold up.
No, Max is just unbelievably quicker than, like, he's so much quicker than him, like, over the course of the season. Like, there's just, you know what, it's fine. Like, I'm not actually going to get
into it. We all saw what happened in Barcelona. Did we not all see that?
Max was miles quicker. He was miles quicker. Like, there's no way Checo would have won that race.
Checo when Max was fighting George Russell, Checo was quicker. He was putting in faster laps. Please, I have the receipts. We can go back to that. And he was promised his place back, which he did not get.
Why would you give a place back to someone who's miles slow? So give his place back so that Max can just re-overtake him. No, it doesn't make sense.
That's what he wanted to do, and that's what he was promised. And he wasn't promised the semantics, he was just promised that.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess briefly, we have to give you the final word, because we're just gonna in English? We're just gonna crumble into no, he said, no, you're right. type stuff. But what's looking over the horizon for McLaren? Obviously Daniel's having a bit of a tough time, but Lando is still low-key going about his business very, very, very well. I think it was McLaren and Bahrain looked like they could possibly be the slowest car in the first race of the season, and they've really done well to haul themselves up to probably being the fourth fastest car consistently. At a time we thought that might be Haas. There was a moment where we thought it was Alfa Romeo. What do you see for McLaren over the sort of medium term to long term? You think you can win a race this year?
You know what? I don't see why not. I just remembered when you mentioned Haas. What happened to Haas? Because they were doing really well at the opening couple of races, and then it just something happened, I guess. But
guys are bidding their cars, and then lots of money is being spent on fixing cars rather than developing. That's my theory. That's my very facetious theory.
And that Ferrari engine is in its flop era.
You don't rate anything about Ferrari. It's actually. But yeah, I'm just curious if how you see that. Again, especially with the context of Bahrain, I think it's easy to forget just how slow they were that weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, with the sort of performance differences you see between the two cars, I feel like that sort of automatically rules out the fact that it's the car problem. But I'm not blaming Daniel.
Of course, yeah.
We obviously know he's,
I think you should, but anyway.
So I think that the car itself is okay. It's the performance is clearly improved, and so I think that there is potential there. I don't see why we can't win a race. We had Monza last year, and we've got plenty of things can go happen.
Could have won Sochi
with other races, and
yeah.
So in that sense, I don't think it's impossible. We can't rule it out. But yeah, as you said, they're not the most, they're not the fastest car on the grid. But I think it's possible. Why not? It'd certainly be something to look forward to when we go into the opposite. Maybe this time.
Please just make sure that if you guys win the race, that you find the trophy
before I promise.
Sure that you're at work when it does come to the office. Absolutely.
I mean, even with the I think was it the Monza trophy with Lando.
Imola. The podium trophy.
P3.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that trophy I did a lot better. I found it within a week. So I think we're improving.
It still took you a week.
Listen, okay. It took me a week, but I was impressed. Because obviously it takes a couple of days to come from the races. So I think usually it's the Wednesday after you start hearing, oh yeah, the trophies are going to be on display this week. Found it on the Thursday. So I was pretty impressed with that. Okay. I'm proud of myself. You guys can laugh all you want, but I found that trophy just fine. So when we win, I promise you there will be a picture.
And yeah, we'll be the first to like it on Instagram. No, I think it's a crazy season. I think that's such it's a great way to great note and level to wrap this up. Thanks again so much for your time. We actually hope to chat to you a couple more times if you would be willing to join us again, and appreciate the role that you're playing in advancing women, in particular black women in STEM, keep doing what you're doing, you know, and shoot for the stars. I think it's genuinely quite inspiring what you do.
I, for one, am really inspired by what you do. Like, I really am. I feel like I should change careers, but just to go back and do physics again is a bit tricky, but I'm really inspired by what you do. And I hope you just continue to rise and, you know, be a star. Oh, I can't wait to tell people that, oh my God, I know her. I've seen her before.
No, you guys are really kind. That's literally me with, like, you guys as well and, like, your podcast. I feel like you guys are doing something really, really good and having this open conversation. And I'd love to be back. Like, I've had such a good time today. So definitely, definitely would love to be back. And I've had a really good conversation, really good time with you guys. You guys are so chill. You guys are funny. So definitely, like, would love to be back. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you guys are amazing. Thank you. But it's nighttime. It's bedtime now. We'll chat.
Adults have
to do adult things. All right. But guys, yeah, look after yourselves. Be safe. And yeah, we'll chat, I guess, online during the race this weekend.
When we go find her Twitter account.
It'd be like trying to find the trophies in the McLaren. The McLaren place. Yeah, it's not going to happen. All right. Okay, guys, be good.